We're so excited about Hope Point Church joining our fellowship, and you need to know Pastor Jared and Deb are an incredible blessing. I was invited here today because of my position as the regional leader. However, I'm glad to be here today as their friend because I just think that there's such a sweet spirit about this church. I had the opportunity to minister here a couple of weeks ago and was just really blown away by the spirit of this house. And you need to know, you got a great church going on here. And now that your facilities are looking very, very good, I just believe that you guys are primed for something significant. I have the opportunity to preach in churches all around, and when I preach, God gives me different messages. Sometimes God will give me a message that I'll take to multiple churches. Sometimes God will give me a message that's specific for my church, and I actually believe today God has given me a message specific for Hope Point Church. This is what I would call a prophetic message or a prophetic word over your church. And I want to start by reading a passage of scripture. The Holy Spirit was leading me to Luke chapter 5 in verse 4. Do we have these on the screen, Pastor Jared? We do have some of these scriptures on the screen. I want to read it to you. It says, when Jesus had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for the catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, we will let down the net. Notice Jesus says, let down the nets, plural. And they said, we will let down the net, singular. Now listen carefully, this is where it gets good. And when they had done this, they caught such a great number of fish that their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. That's a very good day fishing. Any fishermen out there? Some great, you know, I don't know if I want my boat to be sinking in the middle of the ocean, but it would be pretty exciting. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that was taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were the partners of Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. And when they brought their boats to the land, they forsook all to follow Jesus. I don't know about you, but I find that passage to be quite exciting. There's a lot going on in that passage. I couldn't imagine the fear and the excitement of trying to bring in such a great catch of fish that our nets began to break and our boats began to sink. The thing you have to understand here is that Jesus is not simply telling a fishing tale. You know the fishing tale when the blokes all come back from the fishing trip and we talk about, oh yeah, it was just this big. Now, that's what men do. But Jesus, in this case, is not telling a fishing tale. Jesus is prophesying of the catch that is to come. He's saying, hey, from now on, you think this is cool. From now on, we're going to see a catch of people coming into the kingdom like we've never seen before. And from this moment, Jesus repurposes these men and changes their focus, changes their mission and their mandate from being fishers of fish to kingdom-minded men who care about reaching people in the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus then goes on to say in John 4, do not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white with harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. Both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. And I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored, and others have labored, and now you've entered into their labor. What Jesus is trying to drill home to us is that revival is now. I grew up in church and grew up in Pentecostal church, and we used to have some really special prayer meetings. We would pray for revival. We would pray, God, save our city. God, move. Let your spirit come. Move in our city. And we were so proactive in praying for revival as though it's somewhere out there. I don't know about you, but I grew up with a funny idea about revival, that revival is, it's just always beyond my grasp. I'm never going to get there. But that is an erroneous way of thinking. That's not how Jesus instructs us to think at all. He's saying, hey, the harvest is not out there. The harvest is now. The time to reap, the time to see souls saved and lives changed is right now. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus says it like this: the harvest is truly plentiful, or the harvest is truly great. But it's the laborers, it's the workers that are few. So Jesus says, then pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers for the harvest. You know, sometimes we pray prayers like, God, save our city, or God, give us buildings, or God, let your spirit come. We pray those prayers, but we pray them with our arms folded, a bit standoffish, abdicating our responsibility to bring the good news of Jesus to our community. Jesus instructs us that the harvest is now, that now is the time for revival. Now is the time that we would see people crying out to God and inviting Him into your life. Let me say this, if you're here today and you would be honest with yourself and say, you know what, I'm not in a right place with God, in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do business with God here tonight. Maybe you came here tonight because you got dragged here by your husband or your wife. Your ear is still sore. Maybe you came for the free food or the jumping castles. I don't know why you came, but the reality is Jesus is who He says He is. He is the lover of your soul. He went to the cross and died so that you could be forgiven and washed clean. And so in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond and invite Him into your life. I don't believe that you're here on a coincidence or an accident. I believe that you're here because God wants to reveal His loving kindness and His grace to you. What I've learned about revival is that we are not waiting on God for revival, which is kind of the way we think. Oh, yeah, when God finally gets around to it, we'll have revival. I've actually learned that God is waiting on us. God is waiting on the church to finally be ready for revival. Let me bring this back to the great catch for just a second. Jesus sends out these boats and tells them to go fishing. And they catch such a great catch that they could not harvest at all. The boats and the nets and the workers were not enough to catch the harvest. I actually believe that Jesus is trying to tell us something there. Jesus is trying to tell us to get prepared, to get ready, to ready the nets, ready the boats, and ready the laborers, ready the fishermen for the catch that's coming. And in that illustration, there are three elements. There's first the boats, second the nets, and third the laborers. The boats speaks to me of the church, because the church is the vehicle that we help people come to Christ. It's the lifeboat, if you will. The nets speak of our programs, the ways that we go out and reach people and bring people in. And then the third area is there's no point having programs or having boats without the laborers. And I really believe that the Spirit of the Lord is saying that we need to still be readying ourselves for true revival that is coming. And I can see right here what you guys have done. You've got a very nice boat. I'm jealous. My little boat is in a state high school at North Lakes. We're setting up and packing up every week, and boy, isn't it great. But you guys have prepared yourselves for harvest.
The reality is you didn't do this for you. You didn't do this so that you could come and sing some nice sing-along songs and enjoy a latte. We did this so that we could prepare this boat, this lifeboat, to bring hope and life to our community so that more men and women would come to a place in their faith journey where they call on the name of Jesus and invite him in. That's why we did this. So many people have sacrificed. Pastor Jared rightly said how many people have sacrificed over the years. The thing that you have to understand is that we've got to continue to remain revival focused and not consumeristic focused. Because what happens is we've got nice, comfy, cushy seats. We've got a great band that sings nice music. We hear messages that we like and we feel good. And what we start to think is that I'm coming to church for me. But the reality is Jesus is trying to flip that so that we see different. He's trying to get us to see that this is not for me. This is for what God can do through me in bringing other people to faith in Christ. And so my word for this church is continue to see the harvest. Continue to see people in Caboolture and the wider area that don't yet know the Lord, see them as not far off revival, but God wants to breathe on this church and breathe on this people and use this amazing facility so that souls would be saved and lives would be changed. Amen? That's my prayer for this church. And so in just a moment, we're going to cut the ribbon over here and we're going to pray, and I want to prophesy over this church. But the reality is, the Spirit of God doesn't live in buildings. And revival is not found in buildings. This is a boat. And a boat with no driver and a boat with no fishermen is useless. You and me carrying the Spirit of God, bringing people into the lifeboat. Come on, that's what we've got to be on about. That's what we've got to be on about. I said before that if you're here today and you don't yet know Jesus, that I want to give you an opportunity. I just want, maybe we could just quiet just for a second. I know that there's a lot going on, but here's the thing. I did not come here tonight just to simply say some nice words and bless a building. You have to understand that the God of the Bible really is who he says he is. I was so unbelieving for so long. I grew up in a Christian family. I grew up knowing it all. I went to Sunday school. Jesus is the answer for every question they ask you in Sunday school. But the reality is I knew that he was the answer in Sunday school, but I didn't know that he was the answer in my heart. And so in my early 20s, I went my own way, getting into drugs and alcohol and chasing girls and partying and just basically being a loser. And I knew that something was broken and something was missing in my heart. I knew that I couldn't keep living this way. Well, my buddy said to me, he said, James, why don't we go to church? I said, you're not serious. Go to church. I don't want to go to church. If I go to church, they're going to judge me. They're going to point out all the things that I'm doing wrong in my life if I go to church. And he said to me, James, my church's not like that. And he said, why don't you come? And I said, all right. So I went to this meeting and I was blown away. Because the people at this meeting were seemingly normal. They weren't weird and religious. They were seemingly normal. The music was powerful and the message that was being spoken about was not about a God who is angry with you for all the things you've done wrong. But it was about a loving God who wants you so bad that he was willing to die on the cross to forgive you of your sins. I knew that night that I had to make a choice. I knew that night that I couldn't keep going the way that I was going. I knew that night was going to change me forever. At the end of the meeting, the preacher said, who here needs to pray and ask God in? I shot my hand up straight away. I was a bit embarrassed because I don't know why, but my hand just automatically shot up without me even thinking about it. Now I'm standing there with my hand up and I'm going, Everybody's looking at me. But I knew that I needed to pray. I knew that I needed to do business with God. Here's my question for you tonight, friend. I'm not asking if you're religious. I'm not asking if you're spiritual. I'm not even asking if you go to church. What I'm asking is, have you come to a place in your life where you've humbled your heart and invited the forgiving, loving grace of Jesus Christ in? If you haven't done that, I would love to pray with you right here and right now to give you that opportunity. Maybe we could just bow our heads and close our eyes. I think it's important to self-assess. And here's my question that I want you to ask. Am I right with God tonight? Am I right with God? Nobody else can answer that. You don't need a preacher to tell you that you're not right with God. You know in the secret place of your own heart where you stand. And if that's you here tonight and you would say, you know what, James, I know that I'm not right with God. I need to pray. I need to invite him in. If that's you, would you just give me a little wave just so I know who I'm praying with tonight? I see your hand right here, darling. That's awesome. Anybody else? Just give me a little wave. I see your hand over here. That's great. 2-3 people saying, James. 4-5 people. 6-7 people saying, James, I need to pray. I can't leave this place the same way I came in. I need to do business with God tonight. One last time, if that's you here, would you just secretly give me a little wave? I'll see it and you can put it back down again. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if that's you and you need to pray, I see your hand, brother. That's awesome. Come on, there's so many people all over this place saying, I need to invite God into my life. This is what I want to do. I don't know how you do it here at Hope Point, but at my church, we do what I call prayer karaoke. Prayer karaoke. I don't know if you've ever prayed before. So, you know karaoke? It's like where you see the words and you sing along. Well, prayer karaoke is where I pray a little bit, and then you repeat that prayer yourself out of the sincere place of your heart. I wonder if we could all just stand for a moment. I don't want to embarrass anybody tonight, but this is what I do want to do, is I want to provide an opportunity for us to do business with God in this place. Amen? Christians, can I ask you to pray with us as well to provide some confidence for those who are praying this prayer for the first time? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. You proved it when you went to the cross and died for my sins. Jesus, forgive me. Wash me clean. Help me to know you and live for you all the days of my life. Amen. Father, right now I just speak your presence over every person here that prayed that prayer. Lord, I thank you that even though I might not know them, you know them. You know every hair on their head. You know every thought in their mind. But God, I thank you tonight your presence is going to surround them. And they're going to know that they're not alone. That they have a loving God that cares so deeply about them. Lord, I just speak your grace and your blessing. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.